Blog Talk Radio.
Return to claim the pyramid. Pardon on the mothership. I am the mothership connection. Get down in 3D. A life here groover. If you hear any noise, ain't nobody but me and the boys. Turn the motherfucker out.
Y'all ready to get down out there?
If you hear any noise, dipping your hip and come on to the mothership. The bomb. I bet your memory banks don't forget this song.
I've been swinging.
and forth across the room.
Come on,
then move your body.
Yeah.
Everybody move your body. Everybody swing down. Hey, y'all can do better than that, cause we got to get the mothership in here tonight. And it's gonna take energy to get the mothership in here tonight. Raise your hand.
Everyone, welcome to Dry Bones Connection on Wednesday night. And we have Brother Eddie back in the house with us. He was the one who was bringing the mothership in, y'all. So, Brother Eddie, are you with us? And welcome back.
Yes, I am, Sister Antoinette. And can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
It is great to be back. It is great to be back. And Hello, 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 lovely family. How's everybody doing? I hope everyone is well, because just listening to the mothership, and thank you for that, you know, got me into a much-needed funk that I needed to be in, because I have been whooping my body to a grind these last 3 days since I've been back. But we'll get into that along the way.
Yes, and you have to tell us, where were you exactly? I've had inquiries on where were you exactly.
Okay, first of all, let us include our elders, our Ashe, the ancestors, namaste, and to our family and listening audience, much love, respect, and thank you for your time and space, and most of all, this portion of your life that you're sharing with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You are greatly appreciated. Without you, there is no us, because it's
That's
up
great.
To us to fix us. Thank us.
Yeah.
So to answer that question, I had a great, wonderful journey. And I have to include Mother AZ in that, because it was because of her and her dreams of me being there. That basically took 2 years to get there, but I got there. So it was all good. So, yes, my travels took me to Phoenix. And from Phoenix, written a car in Phoenix, I went to Tucson to visit Mother AZ. Went to see her domicile where she stays in Sierra Vista.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Phoenix, and then later that week, I took the drive to Las Vegas for a weekend. So it was a lot of driving, and for me, I love driving, but I haven't drove like that since I was in the military, driving from Florida or driving from Alabama to Chicago back and forth. So that was in my youthful days. And me being in Phoenix, this trip took me back, but that's the premise of the class tonight, family. Exposure expands our thinking. And understanding or understanding the number of exposure comes to 8. It's 35. 3 plus 5 is 8. Thinking is also 35.
Yeah.
So when we expose ourselves to anything, our thinking starts to expand, because we're out of the constriction, the four walls, the box of our neighborhood, community, city, state. Once we travel, we are basically exposing ourselves to a different journey, a different experience, if you will. And a lot of us right now need different exposure, because a lot of us are stuck on the coronavirus, Delta variant, Blase, we Skippy, everything that every fake media throws at us, we gravitate to one thing or another, and we start to go there. And that's not our actual journey. It's just a part, and a very small part, because it's coming from the outside, not the inside. This whole journey deals with the inner you, the inner me, whatever we're doing. And again, we kind of cheat ourselves when we don't basically expose ourselves, because the world, the earth, is a beautiful place, and it's meant to be seen whenever we can, understanding that everybody isn't in positions to do things, but we are in positions to get out of our neighborhoods, to get out of basically what is known as your comfort zone. Because that's what keeps us complacent. We become comfortable, and we feel and see no need for change, because everything as we see it is going okay. But it's so much more to see, and so much we're supposed to see. But we confine and constrict ourselves into positions, areas that we're in. I sent this to a couple of people, and it basically just says this, that change can be painful. Growth can be painful. but there's nothing as painful as being stuck in a place that we don't belong. How long would it take you or me or whomever to figure out if I've been in a place for so long and things aren't going the way I want them to go, then I don't belong there. If people aren't responding to you, what you have to give them, especially is what is if what you're giving them is meaningful, if it has some value and they're not receiving it, then it's time to move on. It's time to go somewhere else. And basically, I must admit, once I got to Phoenix, once I got to Arizona, not just Phoenix, but the different parts that I ventured to, wow, the reception of the people of all ethnic groups were very receptive to metaphysics, because what I saw was that it's missing there. It's something that people, again, just like the family and listening audience, they're missing this and they're actually starving for it. They want it. So I see that there's something missing that I have that I can give. And in saying that, just saying, who knows, down the road, around the corner, Brother Harris might be somewhere west dealing with the beauty of nature. And I got to give acknowledgement to the stars and the movement of the constellations. If you didn't last week, get it, we had a full moon. And last Wednesday at this time was September 22nd, which was the first day of fall. And remember,
yes,
we've been talking about the fall.
Yes,
it's fall,
have.
Y'all. It's fall,
yes,
y'all, but I want to look at it this way. I want the family to look at it this way. It's fall, so that means it's time to bring in the harvest. It is time to bring in the harvest. What did you plant that is ready to be harvest, family? Because that's actually what the fall deals with, the harvest being brought in. Now, getting metaphysically, what did you plant that is ready to be harvest? What we all have or should have planted was a thought. Whatever thought that was in your mind during the spring should have been planted so that the harvest would be coming up at this time. See, did we plant any real thoughts that we can now cultivate? Because using that cultivation, and some family members know that I share with, and even the family here on the audience, I've told people I started growing my marijuana, and boy, did it turn out for this to be the first real year that I got something back. It turned out beautiful. And just so happened today, I just went and cut down more buds that have grown from the two weeks that I was gone to the West Coast. I got a whole new cluster of buds that I had to cut today, because it's here in Chicago, it's getting real cool at night, so a lot of the leaves are letting me know that are turning brown really quick.
Yeah.
But this cold weather is basically ready to turn it dormant, so I went and got the rest of my nice buds off. And I've learned how to process it, which means cure it and dry it. And I'm even doing it a different way, because I was gone for those 2 weeks, and knowing how to do. Anyway, that's another story. We don't have to get into that. The key is, for tonight again, is to deal with that exposure, family, because that's what it's all about, changing your thinking, because we're into change, and a lot of people's change being five, deals with escape. Escape is also five. That's part of your change, to escape some of these areas, some of these people, your surroundings that you're in, so that you can expose your thinking to bigger and better things. If you're in one place, Exposure only makes it bigger. Your thinking, because we're not thinking on that same paradigm of the same thing over and over again. It was refreshing, not to say that I don't like listening to shows, but for those 2 weeks, I turned myself off from basically all shows so that I could reflect. Because the interesting thing, and I want to give a shout out to all of the family members on the West Coast who made me feel very at home, very welcome, starting, like I said, from Mother AZ to JT, which is two different people's initials, in Phoenix, from my best friend, DB, and from my family in Las Vegas, JS. Everybody knows who I'm talking about, and I didn't say their names because only Mother Z is one of the family members that call in. The other family members don't call in and give their names, so I'm not going to do that in respect for them keeping their privacy. But much love to all of you who made me feel so at home. And like I said, for my best friend to give me an opening. See, what I went there for, dealing with Mother AZ, dealing with teaching, didn't pan out. But we still had some classes, Mother AZ and I, which were great. But again, I said I went there for teaching. Lo and behold, my best friend, being a Phoenix detective on the force for over 20 years, has a place that he teaches martial arts still to this day.
Oh.
But the thing is, he doesn't have his own dojo, where we talked about our childhood dream in high school of opening a school up. Well, now is that time. He invited me to move out there to stay with him until I get on my feet. He's got a 4-bedroom house, 2 bathrooms. So, but the key with him is his house is immaculate. You would think that he had a housekeeper or a maid or a wife or something of that sort, which he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I look at him on my behalf. He's a workaholic. But he loves his job. He loves what he does. So he's constantly working. He's never at home. Not to put him on blast, and it's not putting him on blast, but it's understandably. When I went there, his refrigerator basically was bare. He had a whole bunch of stuff in his freezer, but the refrigerator was nothing in there. You know, water and a 24-pack of eggs, and that was it. So I came and put a little food in there while I was there. You know, nothing much because I wasn't going to be there that, you know, for long. But this is how he lives. He's always on the go. He's always teaching. So the beauty of that is that I could see us truly doing it because at the same time, I could use the dojo school on certain nights to have classes in metaphysics. So I saw a whole new horizon that is opening up. The only thing that would basically stop me is me. And I'm tired, like I said, these last 3 days. I've been reflecting and working out. Because, again, a 60-year, 61-year-old individual into martial arts, and I haven't actually physically been practicing in over 10 years. You know, I keep myself in shape to a point, but it's not martial arts shape, and it's definitely not teaching martial arts. So I know what it takes to do that because I've done it as far as being a teacher. So to reflect and going back and getting my body in shape, my body is, it's a good hurt. It's a good pain, you know. As the old saying in exercise, no pain, no gain, I'm remembering more is called muscle memory. My muscles are remembering things that I'm capable of doing that all I had to do was start working them out and letting it flow from there because the muscles remember from the years of training, the decades of training. you know, because we're talking 1974, that he and I started training, 74 family, you know. And he's at a point now where he's considered in his art a master. So that's a good plus for me. I just have what's considered a simple black belt, which is cool because I'm not into names and title, nor is he. Because a lot that I share with him metaphysically, I love to reflect on how we grew up, that we're still that yin and yang. And even though he's in a religion, he's more spiritual. And the reason that I say that is that he's open to any and everything, but like we all do, is investigate and research. So when I relay things metaphysically, numerology and so forth, astrology, he tied the dots right away, which made, I was like, man, bro, I ain't even got to explain to you. That's great. You already there. You just didn't use the terms that we use and the words, and for me, the numbers behind the words. So, again, I know went off on somewhat of a rate, but yes, I've gotten a fresh burst of energy because being there, and especially last week during the full moon, to be able to see the moon so crystal clear in Phoenix, I mean, it was like I was could put my hand up under the moon and hold the moon. It was so big where you could actually see the craters without a telescope or binoculars. Last week was the first time in 2 years, which let me know something because I stargaze, that on the first day of fall, last Wednesday, I saw Orion, and I haven't seen Orion in 2 years here in Chicago.
Oh.
And it just so happened I woke up at 10. I woke up at 3:10 this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And something told me to go outside. And when I went outside, what did I see? Right over my house, Orion.
Oh, wow.
A week later from seeing it first in Phoenix and now seeing it. So for me, it's giving me my indications on what's happening for me. And this is the way we get in tune with nature, family, however it is for you, whatever you've been doing. Again, find the patterns of your life, because a lot just reflecting from 1974 to 2021, that now I can see the past being the future and where I'm headed. But again, that's all part of exposure, because when we go to the past is exposing us to information that we didn't know prior. Because it was left out, it wasn't told, we didn't see it, what have you. And understanding that past exposure that we're getting helps us to see the future. That's why past is an eight. Exposure is the eight, and future is the eight. That's why we're in this time of what's called the harvest era or harvest time. Harvest is also eight. So me understanding numbers, the harvest is my thinking. The seed that I planted from my thought needs to be harvest if I planted a thought that is no more than that seed. So it's been more than invigorating. It's been eye-opening. And it's been a wonderful journey. And again, me reflecting on martial arts, and you know, thank you, Antoinette, because you play Bruce for me quite often. So I would like to make a quote from BL, and this is not Bruce Lee, but this is Brandon Lee, who is Bruce Lee's son.
Yes.
And this quote was from a movie that he did, his last movie called The Crow. And the crow comes to five, family.
Yes.
He comes to the five. So the quote is just this. Mother is the name of God in the heart and on the lips of all children. And I found that small statement so profound, because soon as I heard it, I had goosebumps. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Did you write this? Or who wrote this for you? Man, that was cold, because it's so true. Mother is the name of God on the lips and the heart of all children. Because before a child knows God or who God is, mother is God to that child. This is why mothers are so important, family. Mothers, you are the God. And on that heart, in the lips, in the words that come out that child's mouth, mama, that's God. Because that's all they know until we introduce that creator, that God, or whomever and whatever we choose to call them. Mother is God. And I love that, and it stayed with me. And it's because I got all these my martial arts books. I got about 10 books on martial arts. And yes, family, all of them are Bruce Lee. I ain't got no books on nobody else dealing with martial arts. I got them there in my garage, you know. But these books that I keep in my house with me, I have all around me. And that's all that I've been doing, bombarding my mind with all of these old thoughts to rekindle those memories of things that I did to get me to the point that I was dealing with martial arts. I know I'd never get there the way I was in my 30s, but to understand that a elder is able to do the things that I know I can do, and all I had to do was have a kick in the butt, stop being lazy. And that excursion, that trip, that adventure that I just came from was exactly what I needed, exactly what I needed. And that's why I saw the exposure that not only myself but others need. We complain about where we are. We complain about the cities we're in. We complain about how we're not received this way. Well, then get out. Escape, damn it. Leave. Understand, it's more painful to stay in a place that you're not wanted. If you have something to give and those around you aren't receiving it, as a saying we say, another quote, if you can't change the people you're around, then damn it, change the people you're around. Get around some more folks. Get around other people who are receptive, who are more mind-like or open-minded, that can receive and also give. Because I don't like just being the giver. I love also being a receiver, even though I give all the time, because it's part of my DNA to teach. That's who and what I am. This is martial arts showed me that years ago when in high school I started teaching at 17 in my high school. Hells Franciscus, for those who know the schools here, a Catholic high school who started a program dealing with martial arts that had never been started before. And it was only for several weeks that it was done. It wasn't like it was a curricula. But the teacher who came there asked me to be his co-teacher because, again, I see as you get older, things that we are able to do, we don't feel proficient at doing it, even though I'm going to get back to that point because, again, the beauty behind my friend and I, the opposites, even in martial arts. He's an upper body, I would call, expert. This was his thing, dealing with arm movements, gestures, blocks, punches, throws, this, that, and the other. I was what was called a leg specialist. That's what I mastered, taekwondo. So I was able, my thing was, and my mindset has always been, I don't want you to get up on me. I don't want you to get close to me. So understanding just the basic biology of the body, that your leg is longer than your arm, then if I learn to use my feet as proficient as my hands, then I can keep you farther at bay from getting up on me. I don't care how big you are. The bigger, the better. Because most big people don't have the mobility as a smaller person. That's just your body structure. But the key for me with my legs is that in order to get to me, you got to move your feet to get to me. That gives me the opportunity to take your bunions out, your corns, your ankles, your shins, your knees, to stop your mobility. That's my first target. But I'm going to give you the impression, because I boxed in the military, because that's a weird fascination of martial art and boxers. Boxers want to learn martial arts, and martial artists want to learn how to box. It's always been that way in my circle of people that I've been around. So in the military, I learned why I was dealing with Taekwondo, being in Korea, being a Korean martial arts. I learned boxing dealing with the military, 2nd Infantry Division boxing team. So I was, like I said, I was being pulled both ways. But my mind, my body, I could handle it. So, again, so many memories are being touched from this excursion, like I said, and it's opening me back up to things that I forgot, I missed, because it took me back to right before I got married. And I told my wife she would be the first person in my life that I love, but she'll never be my first love, never ever. Because my first love then and now is martial arts. And I've always been serious about that. But it made me take that stance again. And once I took that stance for my love being martial arts, I'm receiving things that, again, I forgot. I forgot because I haven't given the time that I should have been giving to my love being martial arts, that I would never put on the back burner, and I did for years. But again, like I said, it'll never leave me. I'm divorced now, so like I told her, hey, you'll leave. We'll get divorced, separated, whatever. But my art will stay with me until the day I die. That brought me back. And again, like I said, it's those type of memories and things that are now helping me to spring forward, to make that leap, that jump, baby. Oh, what a jump. Anyway, we didn't even get into the current events. So family, hopefully I took you for a little journey along my journey, because I did things, and I haven't fished, family, in over 30, 40 years. I went fishing last Wednesday. I was out there fishing and definitely wanted to be there because it was the first day of fall. So I wanted to be out, and I was in a place in Mesa, Arizona, they have mountains out there that's called Superstitious Mountain. So, you know, I was playing Stevie. Superstitious. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful because the mountains, the scenery, the water, the canal, all of it was breathtaking. And to be out there fishing in nature on the first day of fall, just everything just tuned in, and I just got real emotional for a moment. But it was a good emotion because it was telling me something. It was pulling at those DNA strands to give me information. And was I listening? Oh, yeah. This is why I'm so fired up. I was definitely listening, you know, because, again, we miss a lot. You know, and for me, just being engulfed, not just in nature, but the number behind everything that I do in my life now, and it's making so much more sense. because a lot of the preconceived programming that we've all been through is being washed away. I don't have to use any of it because I see the dots that are connected that fill all the gaps. That's why the Gap Band dropped the bomb on us. You dropped the bomb on me, baby. We filling in the gaps, family. See, and that's the band. We got a band together because that's the key to what they've done, divide and conquer. Well, 6 feet of separation is that father divide. That mass and unmass is father division. That vaccinated and unvaccinated is more division. So this whole premise, again, not to get so tied into that, that again, that we are not being exposed to the different things that we should be exposed to that we're missing, we're not seeing, because that's the link to everything. We are the missing link. We're not linking up those various gaps that have been purposely taken away. Those dots that need to be filled or connect, as they say, connect the dots. We are that connector, but we're missing certain things. So with that being said, Sister Antoinette, we can get into the current events.
Okay, well,
go ahead. And I said, no, you got some. And, you know, if you got some family members who have already punched the queue, then two, after your current events or before or however it's been, you got the board because you are the mother board. So you go ahead and do your thing, and I'm going to sit back here and just love the rain. And it's not raining. I'm talking about a spiritual rain that's falling down on me right now.
All right, it's
a beautiful thing.
Okay.
So.
Well, that's a good thing. Well, first, last night we had a very spirited conversation. Well, not so much, but today, Ms. Kim did an interview with MTV regarding Lift Every Voice. So during that show, I had also mentioned that they are banning books, not MTV, but, you know, the society that we find ourselves living in. They are banning books. So I was really quite upset about these books that are being banned. And just, you know, whereas our history and everything that is pertaining to us seems that we either should share it, make it theirs too, but we don't have any, you know, like they don't want us to have any rights to anything that's just ours. You know, we did this, you know, this is ours. And so that even, you know, to me, even with the banning of, you know, some of these books, that was where my focus has really been. That's, you know, it's occupied my thoughts very heavily.
Okay, and that's perfectly understandable because, again, I look at things, history repeating itself. The banning of the books, no more than the burning of the books of the Library of Alexandria when we think about it. See, because, again, they have been pushing this for some time, but, again, it's been right in plain sight, but we didn't see it. How long have they been saying, go paperless, y'all? That ain't just money and bills and shit. They talking about books.
Yes.
See, and now it's coming to that fruition because that's what it was all about.
Yes.
See, because anything put on technology can be changed. A book can't be changed.
Right. You
this
hold it in your
hand.
This is why
they are talking about banning books.
Yes. And,
you know,
Brother Eddie, now there's two books that I know that it's been highly recommended for the last couple of years that I'm aware of. And that is one, 1984, and the other one, A Brand New World. Those two are being banned.
Mm-hmm.
And Animal Farm. And, you know, just it's so many, but, you know, it's terrible. I mean, and not every book am I for, you know, because the ones that, you know, deal with the homosexuality and stuff like that, I'm not for that. But in the same token, they still, who am I to say as an adult and what adults read that they don't have the right to read this and someone doesn't have the right to write it? Now, I still have, you know, the choice in what I purchase and what I read. And I feel that could be for any adult. Now, you're an adult, mm-hmm. you know, but when you're a child, you have to abide by what your parents, you know, feel so it's right for you. So I'm really upset by that.
Yeah, but use that upsetness to start your own little movement, even if it's a movement of your disdain within your own circle. And again, if it's the right frequency, somebody in your circle will take it and do a little bit more with it than you're doing, but you have to echo that sentiment so it's out there. It's in the ether. It's in the air.
Yes.
See? And that's the thing that we have so much sometimes that we don't think about the little bitty things that we do that are amplified once we put them out in the ether, out in the universe, out in the air.
Yeah.
In the sky, as they say, it's in the sky, it's in the air, it's in the universe. Well, that's your voice, as you just said, Ms. Kim, would lift every voice. Well, voice is two, air is two, universe is two.
Yes.
See, that is your real medicine. Medicine is two. See, that's your voice, voicing the opinion that's coming from the heart. But it's a right opinion dealing with what they're trying to do to lock this country and the world down.
Yes.
Again, not just our history, because a lot of our history has been left out.
Yes.
But this is why we are the books that need to write our own story so that it could be told. Because, again, we have so much in each and every one of us that is not put on paper. It's in your mind, and it only stays there, and it rewinds in your mind.
Yes, and what does Brother Kwame say? Brother Kwame says that a man is an encyclopedia.
Yeah. Yeah. His own universe.
Yes.
That's why universe is two. People are two. Every person is a universe, their own universe. But how do we see it? Like I said, most of us see it in a perceived conditional perception that has been programmed in us. So, yes, we have to take it farther. And taking it farther is teaching our children the truth.
Yes.
Because they are the future to take it farther than we ever will. So that's why we are the librarians and the note and record keepers. This is why I constantly write and tell those to start writing if you don't. Because we have a world of knowledge of information that is not in any other book but our own personal life's journal, that book.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to be passed on. These are simple things that we should be doing to pass on our record of information, noted, documented, and dated, to pass on to our children so that they have an actual written document of the story that's part of their past, dealing with their present, seeing their future.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, on that note, Brother Eddie, tomorrow night I'm having a Pulitzer-nominated journalist, Patrice Gaines, will be on the show tomorrow night, and she's going to be discussing her new book, Say Their Names. Ms. Gaines was a reporter for Washington Post for 16 years. So she, you know, she was a person who had had a heroin addiction. She was in jail, and, you know, everything, you know, which leads up to her life now, you know. Now, this was before she was before she worked at the Washington Post, you know, when she was on heroin. But, you know, it's just so much that we can get from her. And then, you know, as I said, her, you know, her newest book is Say Their Names. So, you know, on writing, I think that we'll be able to get a lot from her.
We get a lot from everybody. That's why.
Yes, of course.
Every day we learn more. You learn something new every day. It's only those who are stagnant or closed-minded that don't receive anything, because a closed door, a closed mouth will never get fed. You can't go through a closed door. See, so a closed mind is no different. And I'm seeing a lot of those are closed-minded, a lot of people.
Yes.
And again, the way my grandparents and other elders did during that time is, like we said, during this fall, you want to move as far away from light as it's possible, because you don't want to get struck by lightning.
Yeah.
And you see a lot of old people, when they knew a person was lying, they moved away real slightly, ever so slightly, farther and farther away, because they didn't want to get struck. See?
Yep.
And I'm the same way. I don't want to get struck inadvertently by lightning, because a person knowingly is lying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
But again, I'm loving this, the energy that I've been receiving, especially when I was out west, because again, everybody knows that heat, that dry heat, Arizona, Las Vegas, is something else. When you start hitting anywhere from 101 to 110, whoo, watch out, my friend. Mm-hmm. But again, the energy that one gets just to absorb not only the vitamin D, but the energy from the rays that are basking not only on your melanated skin, but within your third eye, that pituitary gland, that transforms that light to your pineal gland that a lot of us don't get enough of. And I got as much as I could stand being out there. And again, for those of us who live in the Midwest, and even, I guess, you in Delaware and those parts of the East, that don't get that sun the way the sun is given in the West. You know, we're missing so much of not just nature, but that energy that is tapping into that third eye realm to give us the information, that food for thought, that helps us with those seeds that we plant to be cultivated at this time, because I planted a whole bunch of thoughts, not just my weed plants out back. That was the nature that I was trying to get. And, oh, by the way, again, family, we look for ways at this particular time and junction that we're in to make a little side money if you can.
Yeah.
And one thing that I could advice to those who are marijuana smokers like myself, I have an abundance of seeds, and I've been selling my seeds because they sell their seeds. But again, you can't get seeds in the weed that you're smoking today from these dispensaries and even some people on the street now. But I have an abundance, so I've been selling my seeds, making a little side money here and there, you know. But again, at this junction, we have to find various ways that we could use with things that we have to barter and to make money. Because I just got on the fake news, I heard something that raised my antennas. These thieving, utility individuals here, we have ComEd and NICOR. And they're telling people already that this winter they will end up paying hundreds, not 10 and 20, but hundreds of dollars for gas during this winter. And a lot of it's predicated on what happened in Texas when everything froze over. And come on, Texas ain't got nothing to do with Illinois and no other states, but they're trying to tie all of this in order to make as much as they can while people are down. So it's like kicking people in the behind while they down, because a lot of people are in trouble dealing with this
with the
coronavirus
COVID.
And their jobs and different things of this sort. Now you want to tack on hundreds of dollars on a utility bill?
Yeah, look,
one
see
utility
here,
bill?
Here it's, it came out in the news today, well, you know, like through Delaware, you know, Delaware community papers, that they laid off 150, or they got fired, so let me just say it right, they got fired nurses, 150 nurses, because they refused to take the vaccine.
Yep.
And then you hear, you know, airlines, you know, where they fired, I think it was, what, 1,000? Over 1,000?
600, I heard.
Okay.
I heard it was 600 out of so many that took the shot, 600 protested and would not take it, and they're the 600 that lost their jobs. So, yeah, I heard something similar. I don't know if the number changed, but, again, you listening to one news, I'm listening to another. They're all fake news. So all we know is some people on the airlines got fired for not
taking the
shot.
Yeah, I mean, so to me what we're seeing is they're still fighting to get this vaccine done any way that they can. And they're going to use things that we've already told people to prepare for. Well, we didn't tell them. We hoped that they would. We suggested it. And, you know, I mean, I heard a couple, well, I think last month, where they were saying coffee prices are going to go up because a shortage of coffee. I'm like, okay, you don't have a shortage of coffee. But they're saying, you know, they don't have the truckers. Again, you know, from back in Texas, you know, during what happened there. So, you know, they're just using all these things to tie in together so that letting everyone know the things that you're going to need, you're not going to be able to get. So, again, I'm going to suggest to people, you know, make your way and get these things to have them because you're going to need it. And, you know, don't keep thinking that you'll have time because we don't know how much time we'll have. You know, before they, you know, finally, because they're not getting people to cooperate the way how that they want them to, that they're going to make it a mandate that, you know, okay, well, you don't want to cooperate, then, all right, well, you know, you can't go food shopping. You can't do this. You can't do that. You know, how comfortable are you with yourself? And I think that's another thing that, you know, we really aren't bringing attention to. How comfortable are you with yourself? You know, I mean, if we haven't learned anything through, you know, what, since 2020, the end of 2019, you know, that we have to be comfortable, you know, in our own space. How comfortable are you with your family? You know, that the people that you're going to have to draw upon, how comfortable are you with them? And are you trying to make, you know, make things better between y'all so that y'all can work together? You know, how comfortable are you with yourself?
Yes, I like the way you put that. How comfortable are you with yourself? Because, again, we all have our comfort zones. And my part of the comfortability is people become stagnated. When you're comfortable, you become stagnated. You might be comfortable, but everybody else around you aren't comfortable because of your stance on this, that, and the other. As you say, that the key is to be open and receptive, not to just your comfortability or your comfort zone, but those who live with you.
Yes.
You have to have your whole domain on the same page. When your domain, when you and then those around you in your homes have a
level of comfortability, then everything flows. But when there's some distinction, something that one person isn't comfortable with, but the key is not expressing that and saying that and keeping it in, just like pop being shaken in a bottle,
mm-hmm.
and then take the bottle off, the top off, and watch it explode and come off.
Yes.
This is what happens when we don't release tension,
yes.
pressure, bills.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have a vow that lets a lot of that pressure out. You have to release the pressure. And again, if we're not open and receptive, and especially using what's called communication, being able to talk to one another, and more than just talking, being open and honest with yourself first. Because if I ain't honest with me and I'm lying to myself, well, I'm lying to everybody else. Because I ain't going to tell you the truth and I'm lying to me. So the truth starts from within you. So these are the things that we definitely have to take stock in.
Yes.
So it's just like me, again, like I said, I'm doing a lot. A whole lot of reflecting on my martial arts. And it was so important to me that even in martial arts has always been a part of my life. And my life as a martial artist is to live my life through self-examination and honest expression, because when you look at art, that's what art is. Art is self-expression, be it on canvas, being it sculpting, being it a writer, as you said, because certain people write certain things don't mean that you have to read it, but that's their expression,
right.
regardless of what they're writing. So for me, my expression through my self-examination is to be honest with myself and through my movements to express myself honestly, which means I know what I'm doing, because even reflecting back and looking at martial arts and looking at where I am now mentally into metaphysics, well, again, I'm just in a different state of martial arts, because the key to martial arts is defense and offense. It's not offense and defense. See, that's why it's called self-defense. Defense comes first. Even in the letters, D comes before O. Defense comes before offense. So dealing with it in the numbers of metaphysics, defense 32 is a 5. Meta 14 is a 5. Physics 31 is a 4. Offense 31 is a 4. My physical defense and offense has become mental metaphysics. But now I'm just converting back to the defense and the offense that I learned from the very beginning, dealing in 1969. That was my first introduction to martial arts. Physically, my first introduction to martial arts was visually 1966 and 67, dealing with the series The Green Hornet with Bruce Lee. That's when I was introduced visually. And from that point on, I've been captivated all my life, but I love it that I was captivated by an individual who was much more than just a martial artist. His philosophies were off the chain, even today.
Yes.
Even today, when I go back and revisit the things that he said, they're applicable to right now. in more ways than one. Because, again, me using martial arts is just another venue to my journey through life, because it's not my total life. It's a part of it, but a very big part. Just like right now, numerology is a very big part. Metaphysics is a very big part. But it's the growth and the change that I went through to get to where I am. And I contribute martial arts to that, because my thinking would not be dealing with that Eastern culture of how they trained and they taught and they meditated, along with what I've learned over here in the West and what I got traditionally from my family on both sides of my grandmother and my grandfather. Grandfather being a Geechee from West Africa. My grandmother was an Indian. So, yes, I have that native and that African blood in me. Because, and when I look at it, it's one and the same. And I always lamp on the number for those who want to disagree. Numbers don't lie. American comes to 22. African comes to 22, y'all.
Okay.
It's the four.
Yes.
Both of them. But we at odds talking about who was first, the egg or the chicken. See?
Yes.
But we're one and the same.
Yes.
It's those of us who have, again, wrote the history in their books and presented it to us the way they wanted to, that we never saw the connection, because that's part of connecting the dots, filling in the gaps. They gapped everything purposely, and we still arguing over some silly stuff over here and over there when
yeah.
It's the same. We all came from one continent before they separated into that seven that we're dealing with, going back to the chakras, back to the seven seals, back to the seven liberal arts,
yes.
The seven angels. I mean, we can go seven, how many other times and how many other stories we have dealing with the seven. But the numbers bring it all together.
Yes, it does.
We can see it in just the words. Go ahead, Sister Antoinette.
And I was just going to invite everyone, if they would like to call in and welcome you back, or y'all want to find out what Brother Eddie was doing, if there was something that he didn't cover for you, or, you know, just anything that you wish to share, the call-in numbers are area code 626-414-3504. Again, that number is area code 626-414-3504. And the other number is area code 515-605-9343. Again,
well,
that's 515-605-9343. And also, if y'all have any questions regarding the interview that Ms. Kim did today with MTV, as much as we can explain to you, then we will try to do so. So, y'all know you just press 1. And Brother Eddie, I'm going to play something for you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
have someone. Are you with me?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Okay.
I had you on mute.
Okay, look, I thought I had myself on mute. Okay, we have a caller, area code 3367. I'm opening your line now.
Mother AZ.
Nope, it's not her.
Oh,
that's
okay.
Why I added the seven.
Okay, seven. I got you.
Peace and love. This is Sister Life.
Hello.
How you doing, my sister? How are you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Okay.
I'm not Mama AZ, but I know Mama AZ.
Okay.
That's the reason why I added the seven, because I knew he was going to say that.
Yeah. But, you know, I was just listening to y'all, and it was very insightful, you know, everything that y'all are, you know, talking about. I'm interested in the martial arts, too, but that's another story. But, you know, I was just thinking about, like, you know, what she was saying about, you know, what was going to happen, you know, and you were talking about, you know, stocking up, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been doing that for many years, you know, because I've had dreams since I was younger,
mm-hmm.
you know. So I've always been preparing, you know, stocking up, you know, I got all the bags packed, you know, the noodles put away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, I got all that stuff, but it's to the point where now it's like I almost feel like I'm not going to be able to take all this stuff with me.
No, but have your grab bag packed.
Yeah, I mean, I have my little bag that I can just grab, but at the end of the day, so now what I'm doing is something different. I'm just like preparing different bags. So, you know, whatever I can't take, you know, whoever does stop through this place can grab a bag and be okay.
Yeah. See, and that's a good thought. That's really a good thought. That's very good.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing now, too, that in our preparation, we can't not prepare our spiritual essence along with our mental stability. Because,
mm-hmm.
again, as we saw and we talked about on previous classes, the gymnast who stepped down because of her mental stability that she was going through. But we have a lot of mental illness in our community that we won't address for whatever reasons that one might have. But again, mentally, yes.
Okay. I hope I'm not wrong, but I think one of the reasons why she stepped down and, you know, and started to come out is because someone from on that set was trying to molest them girls.
aren't we, how long have we been into this child trafficking?
Long.
It's, yeah, so it, that's nothing new. We found out about the coach dealing with Russia.
Yes.
Back in the day, that was molesting all those gymnasts. So these things, you have doctors who molest
mm-hmm.
their patients who are gynecologists, you know,
yes.
doing things that they don't supposed to do, getting off. So
yes.
this has been in the work for a very long time. So, yeah, if that was contributed to a part of what she was trying to promote, you know, I'm all for it. You
yes,
know, because this is the age that we're in, Aquarius, which is the revealing. Everything has to be revealed.
Yes, it does.
And we're going through, and these are the certain things that we have to take stock in, you know, and do what we can do within our own family circle, within our own group of people, to make sure and ensure that they are fine dealing with the places they work, they go to school, you know, whatever they do. You know,
mm-hmm.
this is why it's always good to be and have an open dialogue with all of those you care for and those that care for you.
Yes.
Because we're going to be in that time, you know, where we're going to only be able to depend on one another.
Yes.
And like I said, you don't want any of the people who you know are riffraff, any of the people who you know are thieves and liars and cheaters, you know, you know these things. You don't want these people in your environment. You don't want them in your circle, your aura. That's why change is hard. And
yes,
that change, you have to let, seriously let go of some of those people who are keeping you down, bound. You know, we have to detach. We have to separate.
Yes.
Those are the separations that we should be going through and dividing, you know, ourselves from those type of people. Other than that, we need to come together for those who are in our circle, who are like-minded, who are trying to do things to better themselves and better those around them.
Yes, so we got to remember to trim our tree. We're getting close to that time.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, yeah. And a lot of us ain't even got to trim the tree. The leaves are falling by their damn self.
Yes, they are.
The leaves are going to come out. So a lot of people going to fall by the wayside. You ain't got to do nothing.
Yeah.
I lent some people some money, you know, not a big sum, but enough that I want my money back. But
yes,
they don't give it
enough.
Back. Hey, you just showed me. I spent $50 on something I don't need no more. I don't need mm-hmm. you. You keep it. But now I know.
Yeah.
See? It's things like that. And, again, people that you think were on top of their game who are trying to use you or use anybody they can
yes.
for whatever reason, even if it's simple little things, constantly trying to get over on somebody,
mm-hmm.
you know, you don't need those type of people around you.
No.
You know, some of those people might be in our family, and that's hard to do, to let go of certain
yeah.
family members, you know, and even dealing with this vaccinated and unvaccinated, the stories that I continue to hear about people who are not allowing their unvaccinated family members around their vaccinated family members,
yep.
their family gatherings, and crazy
yep.
stuff, you know.
Yes, yes it is.
I mean, so we get into that point, like I said, we have to be mentally prepared for what's getting ready and what's already taking place. It's not getting ready, it's happening. This is
yes.
why we have to stay ready, stay prepared, stay focused.
Yes. We have someone else that has some words for you as well.
Okay, bring them in.
Okay.
And thank you, Sister Lisa.
Oh, yes, thank you. Forgive me, Sister. Brother Kwame.
Life.
Oh,
it's
no,
life.
But stay. Don't
it's
go anywhere.
Life.
Stay.
Okay.
You're still open. Brother Kwame?
Good evening, Sister Antoinette, and good evening, Brother Eddie Harris.
Good evening, Brother Kwame.
What's happening, my family, my brother? How are you doing? Because you had an excursion right before I had mine, and
yes.
you were doing some humongous driving yourself.
Yeah, I just got back here yesterday, and, you know, I went from Colorado, then you went to Arizona, and I left. You came back, and I went to Arkansas, Kentucky, and Ohio.
Mm.
So I just got back here yesterday, and I got to leave next weekend and go over here to Tuskegee, Alabama. So I'm hopefully it'll be done for a minute. And I can rest, you know, part of October until November around Thanksgiving. I go out to Cali to see my daughter and my great-grandson and my grandson. So,
okay.
you know, all of this is, but I'm grateful for this excursion because you get out and you see what the world is doing and how people in the spiritual communities are interacting, and especially with recovery and mental illness, you know, and you were talking about that, the sickness that we have that is in these communities and the urbanizations and what they're constructing and reconstructing has a lot to do with what we see in the people that now are, like you said, you know, vaccinated, unvaccinated, white people, black people. It's just a new agenda. And this is the Agenda 21, you know, and looking at this shift, and you were talking about the age of Aquarius, and the thing is, Aquarian is the water bearer. They're washing away this thing that the unclean that we have, and this time that this cleansing has to be brought forth, but it has to be identified first as to what needs to be clean. And there's a lot of trauma, and this is why I've been working with these programs on recovery and mental illnesses and intergenerational trauma, because it's not something that just happened lately. This has been passed down since the invasion, and the traumas that were bestowed on our people and the trauma that was bestowed upon the red people that were here on this land. And so we're seeing the generations that have been living in this, and what that this new AI is doing, trying to go against the divine intelligence, which is what is causing this shift. The divine intelligence knows that it's time for the earth to be cleansed, and the Creator is aligning everything up to begin this cleansing where we are in our solar system in the Milky Way galaxy. And even to the point, like, what is today, the 29th? Yesterday, Mercury went retrograde. So that means it's communication, contracts, negotiations. Things are going to be put in a little topsy-turvy because it needs to, because we have to have clarity when we declare ourselves free, or we are attempting to make that freedom and a reality in our lifetime, so the lifetimes of seven generations can know what it is. And so I'm grateful that even when I went to Serpent Mound in Ohio, and the nation that my family are is Shawnee Indians, and that's my mother's side of the family, and they have reclaimed and proven that entity that was built by the Indians of this land is their land, and they are able to reclaim it back because they were able to prove that we were the ones who built it. So that gave us validation to say this belongs to our people of our nation. And we went there and we did ceremony. We also were doing ceremony for the people that knew Chief Light Golden Eagle, who was a keeper of the star knowledge. And so it was good to see even Black Elk, who was one of the great medicine men of the Lakota Nation, his great-grandson and great-granddaughter were there, and they spoke of his prophecies and the things in which they foresaw that was coming. And you know, it was four things that they saw that they knew was getting ready to come to this land before the European got here. They said it was the liquor, the black book, the card, and the song. And, you know, I was like, how did these people, what are they talking about? The liquor, the alcohol, the drugs that they use to what they call the mind changer, to the drunken the fire water they use to give to the Indians to take over their land and make them drunk and kill them and do what they did with it. Then the black book was the Bible. They brought the Bible in and saying that the Christian missionary schools and what they did to the children that created the intergenerational trauma of the abuse, the sexual abuse, the killing of those children, and the cultural robbery that they brought about, what they did in those fields that became adults, and they were abusive. And we see in this cycle is continuing right today on the reservations. And so the healing is being there. And then the cards. Now every Native American has to have a DOS card saying that you're a registered indigenous person of this nation. And we have to have what? A Social Security card. Then they said the song, and we were speaking this last night with Miss Kim Weston, Lift Every Voice and Sing, as that we're looking at that as a national anthem instead of the Star Spangled Banner, and that was the song that they were speaking. That song was to glorify that they were fighting, two white nations were fighting each other to say who was going to control this land and the people of this land. And to keep them in the third stanza, it says about the slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were singing about them fighting to see who's going to be the controller of the slaves that they were making of the people here in this country. And we're seeing this today because now everybody is no longer shackled or chattel slavery. We're now debt slaves.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, I agree. I have myself on mute because, again, Brother Kwame, I thank you as always. You be dropping jewels, and again, I take notes. I don't just sit here and listen because once we off the air, I start putting the numbers to the words and what's being said. And like I said, it all equates to what we all are going through. And again, this attempt to separate us using what has always been dubbed as psychological warfare.
Yes.
That's why the A, dealing with exposure that we started off with, expands your thinking. Thinking eight, exposure eight. Well, psychological is eight.
Mm-hmm.
It's all part of one's thinking dealing with a preconceived conception of a program. So, yes, I love what you're sharing and continue because I think you want to say something.
Yeah, and what I was looking at, you know, I was on a call before I called in late, but I was talking to a person that's working in a recovery program up in Atlanta. I met them in Colorado at the conference, and they're talking about the challenges that they're having in getting, you know, the monies and the funding to help the people that are suffering, the homeless, the drug addicted people, the people with disabilities, mental disabilities. And so it's the challenging of how they urbanize this process and putting them in an environment of an urban area, you're banned from nature. But what they're looking at, that I was looking at too, I was looking at on Academy, and I always look at that. They give papers that are written by professors and people in institutions that write on, and this one guy was writing about capitalism and the new urban areas and how they're creating these environments of smart cities to what they're calling now organic sovereignty. Sovereignty. We're dealing with an apartheid system that is now, we have food apartheid, we have, you know, housing apartheid, that they're not allowing the people to live in certain areas that they're regentrifying, like there in Chicago, to find all of that area that was once populated with people that look like us. Now when you go into those same areas, you don't see... I was in Chicago, and I think I spoke about it. I say I went into my old neighborhood, and the only thing I seen black was a lady running down the street with her dog.
Oh, my. Well.
I didn't see none of us where I grew up at. It was all new and different. And the police station was down the street from where I went to high school at. And I'm like, wait a minute, that used to be downtown. They didn't move it from down there and put it out here. All the projects that people lived in are all gone. The housing, the million-dollar housing that's in those communities now just tore down all the people that were living in Section 8. That's all gone. What happened to the people? They're homeless and they're living up under the expressways and out on anywhere they can to find a place to put their cardboard or their tent up to live. But these are human beings that now have no purpose, that you feel have no purpose for you to invest in. I'd rather invest in building a dog park than to be building a homeless shelter. that's the way we've come in this society.
Yeah. That is so, so true. Let me ask, Brother Eddie, do you want to go overtime tonight? Forgive me, Brother Kwame. Brother Eddie, do you want to go overtime tonight?
Kind of, sort of, but no, because you not did a show yesterday. You're doing it tonight, and you'll be doing one tomorrow. And looking out for you, Mother Boy, you need to get your rest so you can be ready. So,
I know, but we have callers with their hands up, and so.
Yeah, we'll take the callers, and once we're through with the callers, we'll go ahead and call it a night, because like I said, you need to get your rest and be prepared for tomorrow. And I'll be tuning in to that show because I worked myself out so much. I retired early yesterday and didn't hear nothing. So, yeah. So, yeah,
well, the show last night was very good. In my opinion, it was very good.
Okay,
we have – all right, let me take this caller first. Area code 786.
Well, good evening, good people.
Hello,
good evening, Ray. How are you doing? Yes.
Oh, I'm alive and well. I thank God for that.
Yes. Well, I'm thankful for that.
Oh, yeah.
Good evening, Sister Antoinette, and Brother Eddie, Brother Carmi, and Sister Linda.
Good evening, Brother
Ray. Yes, good to hear your voice. Brother Eddie, you have inspired me to do exactly what you did, and I am on the road soon.
After you fully recover.
There's so many places that I need to touch base with as well, but I never thought about it until you said, till tonight, the places that you decided that you had and touch base with and talk to people and see people. So I just want to thank you for that. And to deal with this gentrification that Brother Kwame is talking about, we have the opportunity to do it. All we need to do is organize ourselves so that we can take charge of what's happening to our people. We've talked about it, but we haven't done anything to change it. And there are things being done that we've got to, you know, connect with. That's one of the things I'm going to do as soon as I possibly can. And I'm going to definitely keep Sister Antoinette and Brother Eddie and Kwame, all of you involved, to let you know just where I'm going and what I'm going to do. I'll probably see you in Tuskegee, Brother Kwame. I just need to know when you're going to be there. I've got people there as well, and we were talking about what's going on there. And we need to connect. We need to make sure that others know what's going on so that we can make the connections and support our ideas. Stop
yes.
this gentrification and this assassination of our people. The genocide is going on, and it's happening everywhere. You know, it's everywhere. It's just all over. Now, we've been shouting this out from Miami since 1980, for an example, when the invasion of these conquistadors came here, when they brought them here, and they're bringing them here every day.
Yes.
And by thousands. And we're sitting back acting as if that we have... there's nothing that we can do about it. And the gentrification in our communities, we're being replaced by these people they're bringing into the country. So,
yeah.
You know, there is something that we can do. Organization is part of it. And, of course, the drum call is working. It's out there. It's been out there. And
yes.
There are brothers and sisters who are drumming,
mm-hmm.
who are praying for divine intervention, and who are singing Lift Every Voice.
Yeah.
Sink till earth and ring. So it's happening. We just need to, like you said, keep the communication piece going for Brother Eddie. We've got to communicate to let others know what's really happening. And I'm just very elated because of how this particular program, Antoinette's program, has alarmed and awakened so many people as to what's going on, because this show informs a lot of people, and a lot of people who listen to it are beginning to figure out what they need to do.
Yeah, I'm so grateful for that. I mean, because it's not just me; it's everyone. It's, you know, this is everyone. We're all doing this.
Right. And could I share something right quick with Brother Ray? And I'm glad you're on the line, and everything is in divine order to communicate with you. I went to a conference in Colorado Springs, Wellbriety, which is an indigenous recovery program founded by Don Coyes, who's a Mohawk Indian. And in this program, he's talked about the recovery and the intergenerational trauma. And what he's coming up with, the new concept for next year, is that we're going to do is no more falling feathers. No more falling feathers mean no more suicides of our children. We're attempting to do something about this suicidal rate that's going on the reservations and throughout the country of our youth killing themselves. And what we decided to do is that he said that we're going to take at the mouth of the Mississippi, we're going to take 100 Indian drummers to the mouth of the Mississippi, and where each one is going to drum simultaneously down until that 100th drum. And if you know anything about the 100 monkey theory, when the 100 monkey goes down to the water to wash its food, every monkey on the planet will be able to do the same thing. It's a divine energy that happens when you do something 100 times at the water. It will make the planet resonate with what you're doing. And what we're praying for is the stopping and curtailing of our youth committing suicide.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Well, I would like to join that process with our drummers here.
Yeah, but what we're doing is this is going to be a conference. And just like we had up there for the substance abuse, the all addiction conference, that's what it was. We were looking not just as alcohol and drugs, the sexual addictions, the gambling addictions, the overeaters addictions. All of these things are affecting people, and we have to have programs. And I did my talk on the smartphone, iPad, and laptop addiction that is happening. How are we going to deal with our youth when they become the addicts using this technology? And we're seeing it happen because I said about the thing that happened in Chicago when that mother shot her son over a SIM card that he took out of her phone.
Oh, my.
You know about that, right, Eddie?
Brother Eddie?
I had myself on mute now. I don't
even
want to hear
it. Yeah, just jump on mute again.
So, yeah, but, no, Brother Kwame, that's actually a new one on me because, again,
no,
it's
happened
been recent.
It just happened a few weeks ago.
I wasn't here.
Right.
Right
there, mother, a son, 12-year-old son, she accused him of stealing his SIM card. He pleaded with her that he didn't take her SIM card. She got pissed, and she shot him once, and then she told him to give her the SIM card, and he kept saying that he didn't have it, and she killed him. She shot him again and killed him.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the danger of what this technology is doing. A mother would kill her child over a SIM card for a phone.
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible.
I'm not chuckling to be funny. As you said, it's horrible. It's dismay. But, again, that's the signs of the times that we're in. Because, again, for me to deal with that number of technology that comes to 37, which is a 1, is no more than pain. See, we're in a lot of pain, again, that we ignore from whatever mental illness one is dealing with. But I also use the word pain
which comes to one is 10, but as an acronym, P for pain is poverty. A for pain is addiction, abandonment, and abuse. I for pain is ignorance. And N for pain is neglect. That's the pain that we're in. That's the pain that we're talking about. We're talking about abuse, abandonment, addiction, poverty, ignorance, and neglect. That's, again, being circumvented by what? Technology. That takes us farther away from addressing these issues of pain that we all are in, and one or the other.
And there's a good brother who's a psychologist, and he wrote a book, My Grandmother's Hands, and he talks about good pain and bad pain. And the thing of it is bad pain is what you're talking about, the poverty, the addiction, neglect, and I forgot what you said,
the ignorance.
And that part of that pain is that this is the escape when I said about the four things, the liquor, because alcohol is nothing but, when you take all the color out, it's nothing but an anesthesia. That's why people have blackouts. Drugs is an escape of the pain that the person feels. Even overeating, you're eating to comfort yourself because you don't like yourself and the situation that you're in. All of these are symptoms of what really is the environment and the trauma, because these two things create that. That's what creates poverty, the trauma and the environment, in that you're not given enough. But what nature does, nature gives us what we need, and this is what we did when we were nomadic and before we were invaded. We knew how to move about the land to eat and the seasons, and we knew how to harvest and to hunt, that only what we needed to suffice us in living with balance in nature and all that she provides in her community. And then the colonization came, then the plantation came, then the urbanization came, and now we see the tragedies of what we have allowed others to come in and conquer a people and do this to them in this hideous way. But this is the shift that we're looking at in the age of Aquarius. So it's being able to know how to fight this what the Children of Two Shields says, is that the Children of Two Shields will come back together, the red and the black, and we will come back together on this Turtle Island. And the spiritual, this is a war of principality. This is not a war of armies and navies. This is a war of spiritual.
Yes. Yes, sirs. I'm going to grab some of these callers with their hands up, y'all. Area code 336. I'm sorry. Were you trying to say? I heard a female. Were you trying to say something?
Sister Antoinette.
Yeah. Hello, sister. Sister Paris, how are you?
I'm very grateful to be on this side of the dirt, especially at this very moment. Greetings, Brother Eddie. Greetings, Brother Kwame. And greetings, Sister Life. Oh, my God. I hope you're still there. And greetings, Brother Ray. This is just in divine order. I have a lot of respect, family, for Brother Kwame, because I cannot say it enough. I prayed and prayed and prayed for somebody who looked like Brother Kwame to do sweat, to be the sweat lodge person. I've been all over Wounded Knee, South Dakota, North Dakota, Montana, where you name it. I've been there doing the sweat, even in Arizona at the sweat lodge. And again, family, I have a lot of respect for Brother Kwame, because Brother Kwame took what I shared with him, family, and he acted on it and researched and connected. And that very book that I gave, that I gave him all the information out of, I left it on top of the car when I was investigating the lynching of Laura Nelson in Okemo, Oklahoma. For those who do not know Laura Nelson, look her up. As far as my family says to me, she is our relative. Her and her son was lynched on the bridge in Okemo, Oklahoma, and I physically went there to document what I could on that location. But the point being is, yes, yeah, it's a true story. And our Sister Life knows a little bit about how I roll. She and Brother Kwame knows these things about me, and I'm just elated that all of you are on this line tonight. I want to share something quickly with you. Brother Harris came to my spot, both here in the Gables Resort, the facility, and my apartment there in Sierra Vista, Arizona. And he knows the thunder beings that I have around me, but meaning the stones. Well, Brother Harris, I want to tell you, all of those stones that you saw there at my apartment and then some, I was sent another Brother Eddie to help me transport those big stones that you saw over here to the gable outside on my patio. I rearranged the whole thing, and I'm going to be sending you and Brother Kwame some pictures. The reason that I'm saying this is because I had commissioned somebody else to assist me in bringing those stones from my apartment off of my golf cart to here. Do you know those stones told me in a dream or meditation or something that they did not want those particular people bringing them from my apartment to here? The universe and those stones sent somebody by the name of Eddie. This is a true story. And another person by the name of Trey were the ones who helped me to get these stones here. Those stones literally called on somebody else. I had a brief reasoning with Brother Kwame to just reassure me that I wasn't crazy. And he said, no, Mama Z, you're not crazy. It's like that. It's like that. Well, this is the first time that I've actually seen the song reach out to somebody else to bring them to a certain location because they didn't like those people's energy. Now, for 40 or 50 years, I've been transporting the stones from all over the planet. Sister Life from Winston-Salem can tell you, and especially Brother Kwame. And Brother Ray, you come on down here to Arizona because I need you to link up with Miss Lydia Woods. She is getting a grant to do a 100-drum program for Indian Heritage Month in Glendale, Arizona. That's what she told me last night. I'm not kidding you. And what I like to do is do the Becca Shea. For those who do not know who Becca Shea is, look up the drum beat by Becca Shea. I'm envisioning Brother Ray and the people all over the planet doing what Becca Shea is doing on that video here in the stronghold, in the stronghold, Cochise's stronghold. So thank you, family, for encouraging me to assist me in keeping my balls aired up, because it's not easy what I do. Many people do not understand the communication that I have between me and stone. And I'm not talking about crystals and those kinds of things. I am talking about big, humongous stones from all over the planet. They call me to say, look, you come and get me and take me over here from Montana to Fort Huachuca, you know. And I actually see this happening more and more now, and it's amazing to me. It just blows me away, family. So that's what I had to share. I love us.
Thank you, Sister Ferris.
Thank you for the drum call.
I know that has to make Brother Ray very happy.
Oh yeah. We're gonna do this, Brother Ray. You just come on over here. I got a brand new tent because my thing is being out in nature. I have my surgery the 27th of October, and I don't know how long it's gonna take me to recuperate, but I'm gonna be ready for spring.
We have a lot of background noise from somewhere, y'all.
I will definitely do the best I can to get there. And like I said, Eddie has really inspired me to start moving around the country. I've been stuck down here for 40 years. It's time to get up out of here and get to other parts of the country, talk to people, and solidify what we're doing.
Yes.
Thank you, brother.
I'm with you on the drumming. I've been there for 4 or 5 years or more. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Oh, thank you, Sister Paris. Okay, we have another call. Area code 510. Hello, area code 510.
Yes, how you doing?
I'm well, thank you, and yourself?
Yes, I'm a victim of the MK Ultra, and I was implanted a vaccination implant in my body, Nubian body, when I was about 6 months old. And these white supremacists, the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, the DuPonts, the Windsors, those white supremacists over there in United Kingdom, they was the one that implanted this technology in me. And I live in Richmond, California. And I found out they paid the entire city and the state, city to city, to have people say that they don't know nothing about this technology and act as if they didn't know this was the Rockefellers' research. So I know that they know that this is the Rockefellers' mind control research, that global white supremacists, that Dr. Francis Cress-Wells and Luella Cress-Wells had exposed, that the white global white supremacist groups, is they would do anything to try to fear from the fear of genetic annihilation. So what they did was they was trying to keep my ancient wealth and my immortality cell line, because the white females was injecting, I found out the white females was injecting my immortality DNA of my protein inside, the injected in their body cavities, and trying to use that to use the levitation of teleportation, because, you know, from white people being recessive, they can't do the things that we can do with our telepathy. So they're trying to impersonate my personality on a machine, and they're manipulating my system with this robotic research. So what I'm working on doing is filing with the United States Army and have these individuals prosecuted and the Nation of Islam is working with them, that I found out from them working with them. They working with the Nation of Islam, and they had them on their payroll, and they hacking into black people's telepathy, and they breaking people, black people's bodies down, and having black people on canes and all different type of things, like wheelchairs, and having them have these different diabetes and different type of symptoms, cancer and AIDS and different type of things that they claim that black people is number one leaders in. These white people is using this technology and injecting it in our bodies. And they're shutting our bodies down with this technology that's called neurolinguistic, a brain-computer interfaces. So they are injecting our protein of immortality inside their recessive of genetic coding, because they know that their mortality, they barely have mortality rate because they're recessive. So they trying to inject these, they're injecting our protein of our immortality inside their body. So I'm letting you know that we have to shut all these laboratories down, because these white people have the white bloodlines of the Rockefellers, the DuPonts, the Rothschilds, the Windsors, and the other types of names, that J.P. Morgan and the ones that own them banks, them national bankers, is trying to genetically survive on our immortality DNA, and they trying to kill us also. They want to return our ancient wealth of our Nubian queens and Nubian kings. So we have to shut these white people down. We have to shut these blood lines down, because they fear their genetic annihilation. And Harriet A. Washington exposed them with medical apartheid. So we have to get rid of these white people, white bloodlines, trying to say that they are powers that be when they are not. They fear genetic annihilation. And we have to expose that they fear genetic annihilation. And that's why they're using these sonic weapons and these electromagnetic frequencies and over the telecommunication systems. And we have to get rid of Jay-Z and prosecute him and have him sentenced to death for him killing black people for his contract. And he contract with the Rockefellers, and Jay-Z is in business to help kill black people off of their ancient wealth. And we have to stop Jay-Z from doing them type of things. Yes, because I got evidence against him. Because I had experienced a computer, I had caused a computer glitch, and this white, Polish, German, Jewish individual named Jonah of Rzeczynski Montrenga, and he is a Rockefeller, and he was, and I found that information, how they set me up and had me locked up in a behavioral hospital. Then Beyonce had turned around and had both her children to my ancestors' bloodline, and so they sacrificing people to their bloodlines and using numerology. And so what I'm getting ready to let them know, that the date that Blue Ivory was born, she was born into my ancestors' genealogy, because my cousin's birthday is January the 7th, and they had me locked up in the behavioral hospital of Fremont, California, on January the 4th and January the 7th. Then they turned around and killed my auntie on January the 4th, because they know that was my son's daughter's mother, and they did a ritual abuse, and they used certain dates and birthdays, and then they'll turn around and they use certain dates and cause things to happen to you, and they'll turn around and have children, because I could prove that Jay-Z, both of his children, that both, all three of his children is born to my ancestors' genealogy. Now I know Jay-Z, look it up. Jay-Z's oldest daughter name was only daughter named Blue Ivory. Her birthday is January the 7th, 2012. Them two twin boys, their birthday is June the 13th, 2000 something, because I think they should be about under five or something like that. But them and Blue Ivory is born to my ancestors' genealogy, because they working with Dr. Dre, They working with Eminem. They working with Rihanna. They working with these foreign corrupted policies, and they know they is hacking brains. And I'm getting ready to file prosecute charges on Jay-Z or anybody in that music industry working with the white supremacists. They know they work with the Nation of Islam, because them, excuse me, but them motherfuckers over at the Nation of Islam tried to kill me, had me around them for 10 years and was hacking and tormenting my body and caused me to suffer hair loss where my hair is almost bald. And I found out that they was trying to kill me over my ancient wealth because I found out that they was breeding to my ancestors' genealogies, planning on getting rid of me so I wouldn't claim my ancestors' ancient wealth. Because you know we have different bloodlines, and they try to act like our life started from that slavery. They're a damn lie. We the original people, and without us, it would be no other colors, because Dr. Cress Wilson said that, which is true, that we are the keys to the color, and no white person know that they not no keys to no colors, and they is injecting our protein in their bodies, and that's how they able to use that mind control. So I'm getting ready to expose them, and we got to work on getting them laboratories shut down, because if Farrakhan is over there working with the white supremacist groups, hacking in our brains and messing, tormenting us with this technology. And when I went to the Nation of Islam, I went to them to get some help, and they was installing time and never did help me. I went in there one way looking a certain way. I came out looking like somebody that I had cancer patient. And then when I confronted them that they was working for the Rockefellers, they stole my patent and tried to keep my patent. And because the Rockefellers and them tried to, don't sting me, you white motherfucker with no electricity. I'm telling the truth on you white son of a bitches, and y'all excuse me, because they over here shocking me with them technologies through the electrical system of the electrical grid. And I let them know that they ain't going to shock me and try to control me, because my people get ready to have the Nation of Islam convicted. And when the Nation of Islam be prosecuted, I'm asking for them to get the death sentence. Because you work for them white motherfuckers and you talk about them, you going to be convicted. Because you working for some white people, and you know you working for them white recessive genetic fear and genetic annihilation. The white people, the white bloodlines don't have to be.
Hello?
Hello?
Still there? Can you hear me?
Okay, I hear somebody now. I thought they cut us off.
I did too. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, I
had my cell phone on mute. Excuse me, I had to put her on mute for a moment. Brother Eddie,
okay.
Brother Kwame, do y'all want to address what she was talking about?
I wish somebody would.
Well, what she's talking about is MK Ultra was a government thing in which they did was looking at mind control, and what she is reflecting on is that this whole conspiracy. She's talking conspiracy theories, and some of it is partially in half truth, and then the other part of it is, you know, it's theories, and that the government had created this MK Ultra in trying to keep people, you know, using science and using a little technology to be able to create what they call sleepers or robots or people that they would have mind control over. The thing that she's saying about the Nation is that because of what they talk about, the Nation has joined in with Scientology and working with them. And that part of, you know, she's saying about that. The thing about Jay-Z and their Beyonce and all that, I don't know, you know, a lot about who they're connected to in being able to be a part of the Boule. And that, but
yeah.
Jay-Z is not, you know, in there with the, he might have gotten some monies or some connections, but He's not up there with the J.P. Morgans and the Rockefellers and all of that. He's just a puppet that they use to put out the music that they need to keep people in that loop of control of degrading themselves. So that's kind of what she's speaking to and saying that she's going. But how is she? But the thing that really got it is she was saying she's going to the military to do the court. How are you going to go to the court that this is the government, this is the whole system? You got to go to the world court. You can't do it here in this country.
Right.
Yeah, but yes, but you have to go to the world court, and we have an end to the world court. As a matter of fact, the Council of Elders of the World Court listens to this show. So, yes, I can amen what she's saying and understand what she's saying. And we've been aware of what they've been doing to us. And she's partially right. There's no question about that. We talked about it. We discussed it many years ago. They've been doing this for many, many years. The thing is that it's a spiritual warfare that we've got to focus on. We need to focus on the spirituality of what's going on. And in this spiritual warfare, we're going to win, or we've already won that war, if we understand what it is. And if we understand what the drum call is, then that's the call to action. That's the call to arms, if you will, because something has to be done. Because they are annihilating the people of the planet. And it's the same people doing the same thing. I agree with a lot of what she said, and I'm very familiar with that.
And that's what Mama AZ was saying, and I just spoke about Don Coyer's planning next year, the 100 job. And then she's saying that in Mesa that they're getting ready for Native American Month to have another 100 drum circle. So this theory in that when we do something...
No, Madam Mesa at Brother Kwame in Glendale. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Glendale. Okay, I didn't know. That's my mistake. But I know I heard part of 100 drums. And when you do something in that 100th in consciousness, you create a energy that goes around the planet, and that all the beings will receive it and bring about the change that is needed. And this is why it's important what Brother Ray is saying, in that if we got 100 drums singing Lift Every Voice and Sing at 12 o'clock on Sunday, that would change. And this is why Lift Every Voice and Sing is getting the energy that it's getting, because they played it at the Super Bowl. They're playing it at major basketball games. The professional sport teams are playing this because this energy of it being raised from the time when Mahalia Jackson and Miss Kim Weston began singing it, even when James Weldon Johnson wrote it as a poem and his brother put it to music, and the NAACP adopting it as the Negro National Anthem. This is the part of what this song, because I said those four things, and I said the song, that song of the National Anthem is no longer, because our song is what is being able to lift every voice, not just the our people, it's every voice here on this Turtle Island, to be able to raise our voices. And if we raise our voices, we raise our energy, we raise our consciousness.
Yes, and you know, this thing is going around the world, and they're beginning to sing Lift Every Voice and Sing. Those countries that I've spoken with, they're learning it in their language. They love it. They love it.
Right.
They're learning. As a matter of fact, the brothers out of Cote d'Ivoire called me. I had a 2-hour conversation with them yesterday. Kwame, I meant to call you. I had a 2-hour conversation with them yesterday, and they, you know, they are very excited about it because they just lost their country to these people. They came in and attacked them and took the country over. And I've been working with them since 2003, when they were attacked. But the point is that people are resonating now to the spirituality of what's taking place. We see what's going on is not spiritual. It's an attack against the spiritual people of the world. God is where we are, now who we are. So we're coming together now, you know, and we're coming together through music and through the drum.
Right. And I'd like to interject real quick.
Caller. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Okay, let me interject real quick and just put the numbers, which for me is the exclamation point on what everybody's saying, because we're right there on point. And again, we went through the pain, which is one, dealing with technology, which is one, but that's why we keep referring to the 100 drums. That's the one. See, mm-hmm. 100 is also the frequency. When you get the one is the frequency. That's when you on the one. So all of this one is putting us on the frequency, and the drum is only echoing the consciousness. The drum is 16, which is 7. Consciousness is 52, which is 7. And this is why every voice is lifted. Every is 22, which is spiritual. The
right.
Every refers to the spirit that we're talking about, because, again, the fight is not flesh and blood. It's principalities, which are principles, family, values. That's what the voice
yeah.
is lifting. The principles, because
right.
voice is two, principles are two, principalities are two. That's the voice that every damn person is supposed to be screaming at the top of their lungs wherever they are. Yes. So that's just me putting the exclamation point on what everybody's saying, that we have to come to a concession of a collective voice as one.
Right.
Yes.
And that's
yes.
the consensus we're making.
Yes, I'm going to take this next first area code 610 and then 510. As soon as they complete their thought, I'll be back to open your line. Okay, area code 610.
Greetings. My name is Gloria. I'm from the suburbs of Philadelphia. I know the young lady that was speaking previously, Amy Anderson, I too am mm-hmm. a victim of this technology. And what Amy has been researching for over 10 years, it's called No Touch Torture. And it's not only affecting us because of the 5G that they have installed during the pandemic when everything was closed down. They were putting the 5G in the schools and the communities everywhere. Everyone mm-hmm. is under something called the Frey effect. If you don't know your mind, if you're not in touch with you, you will come under this technology. It is the Frey effect. They can scribe
yes.
for your brain waves and just shut you down. So there's thousands of us, melanin-rich people. We can't go to no one for help. If you go to the doctors, they put you in a mental facility.
Yeah.
Keep you shut up.
So y'all are part of the targeted individuals.
Or POWs, because the military is involved in this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yes.
Well, I shared with you all back in April that I got hit with that 5G frequency, and it took
yes.
me out.
Yes,
supposed to take me out. It couldn't. It didn't. Only because I'm here for a purpose and for a reason I'm here. And
yes.
it's what she said is absolutely true. I just want to, you know, give
yes.
her support for what she's absolutely
yes.
right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I mean,
right.
I'm going to bring her back in. It was just I couldn't get in edgewise to say anything, and I didn't want to disrespect her.
Well,
so I'm going to bring her back in.
Yeah, what happened to her is she's being tortured so severely that's her way of, you know, when they hit her sometimes, she has to tell them, you know, like, get the fuck off of me, and she goes
yes.
into it, but. You know, sometimes she'll call me and she'll have a rant for maybe 15 minutes because these people are torturing her. And
yes.
no one, they've come out of woodwork to help, but it's as if it's some type of ritual to be around her and then they go away. You know, there's no one to help you.
Well,
we
yeah, I, we, years ago, I've had experience with several people that were TIs, targeted individuals, and the torture and everything that y'all go through, my heart truly goes out to you. And I know, you know, wrapping this and, you know, you have to get it out. You have to say what you have to say, and you want people to hear you. And, you know, you just go on talking. And so I'm very familiar with how that goes. And my heart truly goes out to y'all. And it's because of either something that y'all expose or something that they want that y'all's, or, you know, that they've taken. And so they torture y'all.
Yeah. I was a community leader, and a police officer pulled a gun on my neighbor. A woman from Harrisburg called me out of the clear blue sky. Her name was Ada Montaire. She said, I understand you're the spokesperson for your community. I said, well, I'm the president of the resident council. So I went to Ridley Township, which they're known racist. They drive red cars. It's the whole, you know, it's a mess. And when I went to the meeting, they had never seen this before in this place. Three ministers, three black ministers came with me to support me. And 75 residents came filing in behind me. And I believe at that point, that's when they decided, oh, we got to do something with this sister. So they hit me in 2009. And what you go through, if you read the Illuminati key code, it tells you how what they're going to do to us. They're going to use chemicals in the sky, the chemtrails. They're going to do this. They're going to do that to the, we're going to do this to the populace. But there's a few people that will know. Some people will know what's going on, but we'll be able to deem them as crazy. Because
yeah,
when you go to a doctor and the medical community, I haven't been to a doctor since 2010. I have a holistic doctor, a naturopath. I won't deal with that big pharma, none of them. So.
Yes, well, I can understand. I mean, we, you know, I know a lady that, and you probably know her too. She's no longer with us, Miss Elvira.
Elvira, yes. I was good friends with Elvira.
Yes. And, you know, the thing she went through. So, yes, I'm familiar with, you know, how y'all suffer. My heart truly, truly goes out to all of y'all. I just don't have the words for it, but my heart goes out to y'all, and I'm gonna bring her back in. Gentlemen, are y'all okay with that?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Area code 510. Please forgive me for putting you on hold, but I had to get the other callers in this.
Yes. Well, I'm right now working with Gloria Wellburn, and I'm working with some non-traders, because I'm getting ready to announce my inheritances from Nubia, from the Queen of Rainus, Amarenus, her dynasty, and Pius, the King Pius dynasty, the Upper Nile and the Lower Nile. I trace my bloodline there. And that's why these national bankers and these Jews, so-called white Jews, we know they not. They remnants from the cave. And every time I write about them being remnants from the cave, and that I know they recessive, and that Dr. Cress Welsin was right about they fear genetic annihilation, I found that they was using my protein, Henrietta Lacks protein, because it's immortality, and they using that, injecting that in their bodies and trying to use that as a cure for them to, from them not to fear genetic annihilation. And I'm fighting them over my inheritances. I'm fighting them over my multi-billions of dollars of sales of they making. out of that they are generating multi-billions of dollars on my immortal DNA, my immortal protein of my cell lines. They is already announced that they making multi-billions of dollars on Henrietta Lacks cell line. I found out that they traced it. My cell lines also is the connection to Henrietta Lacks, because Henrietta Lacks' date of death became several years, like 4 years later, my baby brother. Then they forced him to move up to Washington, D.C., and was forcing him to breed with white females. And then the people that's harming me, the Rockefellers, they had my brother court case up in the Rockefellers court case. Then the science of the Nation of Islam believing that some white female gonna save our people, that's a lie, because ain't no white female fear genetic annihilation gonna save our people. Ain't no white female ain't gonna be able to save herself, cause she not gonna be able to keep my DNA in her body. So what I'm asking for, anybody have my immortality DNA in their bodies, working with these so-called white supremacist groups, calling themselves these Illuminatis, people like Jay-Z is working with these people with that telepathy and using that telepathy on our people. And what he is doing is he using a sound wave and blending it and mixing it through the music. And how I know, because they attacked me with the music. They had me not being able to listen to music for a whole year. Because let me explain to you what artificial telepathy is. Artificial telepathy is like I'm talking to you, you talking to me. But the only difference is it's not a neutral conversation. It's somebody that got up inside of your telepathy and be those so-called voices in the head. Where you know the difference is a voice in the head when it's not a medical condition. You going to so-called take medicine and get well. I never did take no medicine and know that I didn't never have no schizophrenic, because the cutoff date of a schizophrenic is something when you were in your 20s. When I got 36 years old, 37 years old, I don't have nothing on my medical record saying I had no medical psychological disorder. Until they had me working on my auntie, great auntie's date of birth. And one of these individuals know that their birthday was the next day. So I'm talking about numerology. I'm talking about gematria. I'm talking about somebody sending you on a secret mission. You don't know you a humanitarian candidate. You don't know you a part of a medical apartheid, medical victimization of Nazism, medical Nazism, of environmental racism, that they lure you in their hospitals with the sound waves, and it's like somebody is like a dog whistle, but instead of a dog whistle, it's a sound wave with your protein of your actual genetic coding, and so your brain waves is subconsciously responding to somebody that is manipulating your brain waves activities. And you responding to it to defend yourself, but not to respond to it like you conversating with them. Because this is so sick what these individuals do. Until it feel like somebody is living in your body with an out-of-body experience. Where you can feel the presence of them, but you can't see them. So what I had analyzed and been on the internet, they using some type of hologram. And they using them holograms similar like a ghostly plane. They done entered my telepathy, but on a teleportation level where I can't see them, but I can feel them. And it's just like a bunch of people around you taking turns with their energy, teleportating, levitating, and tormenting you with a different ideology. Like one day, yeah. They might want to have a day where they just,
Excuse me. We're gonna pray for you, and what we're gonna do, we're gonna have to make a day where we can discuss this with you. But for now, we're in.
That's gonna be nice. I would really like that too, and I want to talk about a remedy too.
Okay, well that would be great
because I'm asking people to come together with me and expose this on a higher platform.
Every Sunday at 3 p.m., there's a drum circle that goes around the world. And it's what city are you in? Or what city are you near? We drum at 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. That's on the East Coast, it's 3 p.m. In Mid-America, it's 2 p.m., and in the West Coast, it's 12 noon. But at that synchronized time, we're drumming and we're praying for divine intervention. That's the weapon we have.
I know that's right.
So we're asking you to join us on this 3 o'clock Sunday. And if you have any questions, you can give us a call. And we'll collect you, we'll put you right on hand. And it's happening all over the world at the same time.
Appreciate that.
Yes.
Do you have my number? Can you keep my number?
I don't know if Sister Antoinette has it or not, but I know it's somebody.
It's 510.
Okay, don't say your number. Okay, I got it. I see you. I see who you are now. Okay.
Okay. Yes, Sister. Why don't you call me when you get a chance, please?
Okay, I will do so.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you
for allowing me to share.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you so
much. Thank you, Glow.
I got you, Ali.
Okay. Brother Eddie, is there anything that you want to say so we can start to wind down?
I was on mute. But, I got a lot, took down some notes. And, we went overtime more than we planned to, but the callers came in and gave their piece of the puzzle, which was it's always greatly appreciated. So, again, go ahead and close out. If anybody has any last words that they want to say, Sister Antoinette will let you say what you have to say. My last words are I could be reached at e.brewer1942@gmail.com. And with that, family, until next week, I've had a blast on my adventure. I had a blast with you, family. And peace and better love until the next time. I love all of you.
Yes. Yes, and tomorrow night I will be on with... Oh, my. Okay. No, I'm getting... I will be on with Patrice Gaines. And that should be an exciting show. She is an author. And she was a reporter for the Washington Post, and now she does freelance for CBS. So we should have a great conversation. She's promoting her new book, which will be released October the 5th, Say Their Names. So we have a lot to talk about with her and a lot of information to receive from her. So I hope that y'all will join me tomorrow night at 9. And don't forget Dry Bones on Sunday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time for the Helios Delios, and the drumming at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, no matter where you are in the world, when it's 3 p.m. Eastern Time, we want y'all to be drumming. Okay, and with that, anyone who has any closing statements, we can take them now. So I'm going
to
start from the top and go down.
Go
ahead, Brother Crown. Brother Ray, I'm sorry. Brother Ray.
Okay. This is with Patrice tomorrow night. It starts at 9 o'clock, is that right? And it's for 1.5 hour. She's speaking.
Yeah, she,
and then we can
start
at
9 hour.
Yeah, so I just wanted people to know.
Yes, And we're still going to go over, you know, in case, you know, people afterwards have, you know, she has given her, you know, given her presentation and she's spoken with us, you know, that we can talk later about, you know, the information that she's provided us.
Yeah, we can ask her a question, but I'm just saying that she's only going to speak for a half hour.
Right, that is correct. Yes.
Okay. Don't miss it, please.
No, I'm really looking forward to this. This, you know, we've had some great, everyone's great that comes through here. I mean, there's no one that comes on this program that I don't think is not great. So we just want to continue to have more great people. Just, you know, everybody just continue to come through. We appreciate all of y'all.
The thing is, everybody got something good to say.
Yes, and that's what really is important. Yes. Wow.
Is my mic still open?
Wow. Okay. I'm sorry. I was looking at this text I just got. Okay. Brother Cromie, go ahead.
No. What she was speaking about and about the torture, and I found it's on the website, and I sent some information that I pulled up and shared it with you all, so we're all on the same page.
Yes. Yes. We'll have to talk about this one. You know, maybe we can try to get a day where we can come together and we can talk about this.
All right. Well, anyway, it was a great show. And Brother Eddie and Brother Ray, Mama AZ, Sister Motherboard, Antoinette. Eddie gave you a new name, Sister Motherboard, Antoinette.
I know.
So that's good because you are the mother of the board, so. And like you said, all of this is coming is because it's the women that's going to save us, and I'm grateful for you being the motherboard that you are.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm just here, y'all. That's all. Only thing I basically do is pick the music. Everything else is y'all. I'm just here, and I just appreciate y'all.
All right. Well, family, we'll call this a night and until the next one tomorrow.
Yes. Yes, we shall be back tomorrow evening at 9 o'clock.
All right.
And she says she thinks she's not sure of the exact date when MTV will be releasing the interview, but she believes that it'll be around the beginning of the year, maybe Black History Month. So
right,
we shall see. Yeah, we'll be on the lookout for it. And in case, you know, that time has changed, then we will let y'all know.
Okay.
So that we can make sure that we watch it and so that we can, you know, give her support because, of course, we're proud of our Miss Kim.
Hey, she's still,
and
she's still
contributions
making
that she made. Pardon me, Brother Cromie.
I just said she's still making music. She's making history.
Yes, she is. Yes, yes, she is. And so,
all
you know
right.
What?
Everybody have a peaceful, restful night, and we'll hear each other back on the air at 9.
Yes, I'm going to close us out with Lift Every Voice, if I can get it. Okay, I'm going to close it. All right, so I want to thank y'all for being with us, and hopefully y'all will join me tomorrow night. Okay, here we go, y'all.
Sister Kim Weston, the Black National Anthem. Let our rejoice.
the dark past has taught us. Sing a song full of the hope that the present has brought us. Facing the rising sun.
Difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.